your love for us. Thank you for these kids that just walked out of here. We pray, God, that your word will play a wonderful role in their lives, even today, as they study it together with their teacher. Lord, we pray that your word will do its work in our lives, too. As we look at this passage, we try to figure out what it's all about, and then try to apply it to our lives. And as a result, Lord, we pray that others will come to know Jesus through that, and we'll get to know Jesus even better, too. Lord, bless us as we study this passage, and as we look at your face and see your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you would, please stand with me as we read through the passage that we're going to study today. We'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham, returning from the defeat of the kings, and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means king of righteousness. Then also king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people, that is, their brothers, even though their brothers are descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham, because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. Please be seated. Thank you for standing and reading together the Word of God. Well, as we look at these 10 verses today, I think you can kind of divide it into two main topics. The topics are, who is this Melchizedek? And why is he so important? We've been studying through the book of Hebrews. And so this is just the next passage in line as we think about these things. Certainly it was written to people in Rome, Christians in Rome, who were thinking about giving up because of persecution that they faced. Have you ever felt like giving up? Like just packing it in? It seems like, you know, that's kind of the popular thing to do today, isn't it? To walk away from Christ, to join another religion, maybe to become an atheist or a practicing guru. You know, it seems sometimes like everybody's doing that. My advice today is don't give up. There's no other way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. As I've already said, some of the people in Rome, first century, were considering doing just this, turning from Christ and turning back to Judaism and the Levitical system in order to be right with God. You know, it's something that they could see. You know, there's always this tendency to worship the creation rather than the creator, something you could see, something you could grasp with your hands. And so it was a big temptation for those people, as it is for us. But you know, Jesus is better than any of the world's religions. And that's one of the themes throughout the book of Hebrews, is Jesus is better. Jesus is better than all the other world religions, those not given by God. But not only that, but Jesus is also better than the Old Testament system, which was given by God. So don't give up the faith. We've got the best. Jesus is better. Jesus is superior. Jesus is over all this. Jesus is the result, the fulfillment of all these things in the Old Testament that we have. We've got the very best. As we look at this passage, we should follow the one command that is in these 10 verses, and it's found in verse 4. Look at verse 4. It says, just think how great he was. And so we are to consider Melchizedek. We are to gaze upon him. You know, fix your eyes on Melchizedek and think about who he was, who he is, for a second. But why do we need to know this guy? Well, he's a type of Christ, a historical human person who lived during the time of Abraham, who typified the person of Christ. And the author of Hebrews is going to go back into Genesis and use this as an illustration for us to see why Jesus is better, why Jesus is what we need. You know, we desperately need to know about Christ. And that's how Hebrews is kind of designed. You know, there are these warning passages. There are 5 different warning passages. And then in between those passages, there's these big illustrations about Jesus, the Son of God. And that's what we're looking at today. This huge description of who Jesus is. We need to have a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. Because Jesus is the solution to every problem. The solution to our problems is to know Jesus Christ more accurately, to know Jesus Christ more intimately. And you know, that knowledge is not just given to anyone. And in chapter 5, there's a warning about those who are lazy towards the Word of God. It's not given to those folks, but to those who humbly, consistently, diligently seek Him. So let's examine these 10 verses today and ask these 2 questions. Who is this Melchizedek, and why is he so important? So the first question we find in the answer to the first question, we find in verses 1 through 3. So first of all, who is Melchizedek? I'll read verses 1 through 3 again. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means king of righteousness. Then also king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. You know, this person, Melchizedek, is kind of a mystery man in the Old Testament. He is mentioned only in Genesis chapter 14 that Scott read for us, and also Psalm 110. He was one of those rare people who still held on to the true faith handed down from Noah. So 4 things to notice about him as we read through this passage. First of all, he was a king and a priest of the Most High God. We find that in verse 1 and verse 2b. Just like Jesus is. So the writer focuses upon the meaning of Melchizedek's name. He was a king of righteousness. He was a king who ruled correctly, fearing God. He was a king of peace. just going to take this off. It's bothering me.
Peace. Also, a type of king not for war, but for peace with man and peace with God. So that's the first thing. King of righteousness, king of peace. Wonderful combination. Secondly, he met Abraham, verse 1a. He met Abraham when Abraham was returning from rescuing his nephew, Lot. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And the word blessed there is in the perfect tense. So it's like it completed action in the past and it continues to today. And Abraham gave him a tenth of the spoils. Also perfect tense, something that continues. Perfect, completed action, but yet continuing. Showing that by receiving the tithe from Abraham, that Melchizedek was greater than Abraham. Whoa. If you're talking to a Jewish person who almost worships Abraham, whoa, Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. Thirdly, he was without genealogy, without father or mother that are mentioned in the record. It's not written down for us in the record. He is like Christ in his divine person, not his incarnate person. We know that Joseph and Mary were his stepfather and his mother. But his divine person is kind of a mystery to us. Fourthly, he remains a priest forever. Forever. You know, Genesis pictures Melchizedek as a functioning priest without beginning, without ending, just like Jesus is. It's comparing this guy with Jesus, who's a type, he's typical of what Jesus would be. In order, the order of how Melchizedek is described is important. There is no peace. He's called the Prince of Peace first, or the Prince of Righteousness first, and then the Prince of Peace. So there's no peace without there first being righteousness. We can't be righteous until we accept Christ as our Savior. And a lot of people try to do that. They try to be religious enough for God, good enough for God, and look for peace. But you can't do that. That's the wrong way. Melchizedek was a king whose name and rule illustrated these concepts. He showed us what Christ would be like. Christ is called the Holy and Righteous One in Acts chapter 3, verse 14. By his death, by Christ's death, he satisfied the righteousness of God by dying in our place. And he provides peace with God for all those who put their trust in him alone for their salvation. But not only that, Christ is the one who is the secret of right conduct. When we follow Christ, we act the right way too in daily life. The divine program, his divine program results in proper behavior. And Christ holds in his hand the secret of rest, the secret of inner calm, the secret of adequacy within that gives a person poise, power, and purpose to life. You know, just the other day, I was working in this saturation, Ashland County. I was going doorknob to doorknob, and I stopped at this house. And I'm always looking for dogs first. You know, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Is there a dog house? And is the dog in the dog house? There wasn't a dog house, but it seemed like nobody was home. So I hung this bag with the Jesus video in it on the doorknob. I was about ready to get back in my car and get out of there before the dog showed up. And this lady came out of the house. And she said to me, she looked at what was in the bag and she said, "I thank you for this. You know, my dad just died last week, and he was a Christian. So I know that my dad is in heaven today because he believed in Jesus as his Savior. And Jesus is alive. He's risen. Jesus is risen from the dead. Amazing things you hear from people as they receive the gospel. Even though they know it already, you said this came at just exactly the right time, exactly with the right message, in order for me to be encouraged by your work today. That's why the Bible is presenting us this guy, Melchizedek, so we'll know Jesus Christ, we'll know him in a different way, in a wonderful way. That's the first question that this passage deals with. The second question, why is Melchizedek so important? Verses 4 through 10. Well, I'll answer the question for you. Because he is superior to the Levitical priesthood that all these people were tempted to going back to. Like Christ is. Christ is superior to the Levitical priesthood, which these Jewish Christians were tempted to return to. This Levitical system of going to the temple, making sacrifices, doing all that kind of stuff in order to have their sins taken away. But Jesus did that. What did he say on the cross? It is finished. It's done. So the writer gives us four reasons why Melchizedek is superior to the Levitical system. And the Jews would get this. They would be like standing on the edge of their seat, or sitting on the edge of their seat, as Paul or whoever the writer is said these things. First of all, let's look at verses 4 and 5. Abraham paid a tithe to Melchizedek. Verse 4 and 5 says this: just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who became priests to collect a tenth from the people, that is their brothers, even though their brothers were descended from Abraham. The right to tithe someone involves acceptance that the person who is receiving the tithe is greater than the person paying the tithe. So by Abraham paying a tithe to Melchizedek, it's showing that Melchizedek was superior to Abraham. Just like Melchizedek was superior to Abraham, Jesus is superior to the Levitical system. So don't go back. He's saying, to these Jews, don't go back there, because what you got is better. It's inferior. It's not. It was given by God, but that's over now. We have Jesus, Jesus Christ. That's what you need. First reason. That was the first reason. Abraham paid a tithe to Melchizedek. Secondly, I wonder if I'm going to get through Melchizedek all the time today. We'll see. Melchizedek was not from the Levitical line. Look at verses 6 through 7. This man, however, did not trace his descendant from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. You know, one of the things that you would look at if you were Jewish at a guy who's saying he's a priest is he from the tribe of Levi? Is he the descendant of Aaron? Huh. But Melchizedek was not from this line. And yet he was superior to Abraham. And that's where, you know, Aaron, everybody came from Abraham. Because Abraham paid a tithe to Melchizedek. And just like Jesus was not from the Levitical line, and yet he is called a priest. The Jews would thought, how could Jesus be a priest? He's not Levi. How could that be? Here he's showing that Melchizedek was superior to the Levitical priesthood. Just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. Third reason that Melchizedek is superior is because his priesthood is not characterized by a succession of mortal men. Look at verse 8. Let's see if I can find verse 8. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. In the Levitical system, the priest died and had to be replaced by others. But the biblical record doesn't tell us that Melchizedek died. He did die. But it's not recorded for us because that's not the emphasis. That's not what the text wants us to see. It points to a living priesthood, that Melchizedek has a living, continuing priesthood, just like Jesus, who is our living high priest. Finally, the final read is Levi tied to Melchizedek. Not just Abraham tied, but also Levi tied to Melchizedek. Look at verses 9 and 10. One might even say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham, because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. Levi tied to Melchizedek through Abraham, through his loins, through his body, even though he wasn't born yet. Therefore, Melchizedek is superior to Levi in the Levitical system. Guess what? Just like Jesus. Melchizedek is just like Jesus in a lot of ways. So you guys out there, you're thinking about going back to the Levitical system. Don't do it. Don't go there. What you got is superior. You know, there's a lot of people today who try to do a lot of different things to be saved, to be superior to Jesus. You know, I like to do a lot of different things in my spare time. One of the things I do is I play pickleball. And the other day I was wearing one of my favorite shirts, God is Crazy About Me. And I'm wearing this shirt among people who are not Christians, but doing things like they're religious. They go maybe to a church, but they don't know Jesus. And they looked at that shirt, and they looked at me, and they laughed. They said, never says that in the Bible anyplace, George. What are you doing? And I said, well, you're right. It doesn't say that in the Bible anywhere, but I'll explain this to you. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him, they shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves me. He loves you. He loves me. And I explained to them the love of God, their need for a Savior. Now, religious traditions die hard. A lot of those folks in Rome still had those traditions too, just like people do today. But Jesus is better than anything the world has to offer us, including the Jewish Levitical system or any other religious system out there that doesn't have Jesus as the focus, as the center. Ever feel like giving up? Just packing it in? You know, I felt that way this past week. And I told you, I like to do a lot of different things. I like to ride my bicycle, too. The first time I ever had a bicycle that has handbrakes. You know, it's a big deal for me. And so I put on this whole uniform to go on my bike. I put a helmet on so they can see me. I put a yellow shirt on so they can see me and I don't get run over. And then when I never owned an expensive bike like this before. So when I leave, I even lock up my bike or even my lock after I leave so somebody doesn't come and steal even my lock after I leave the house. Well, and you got to put air in the tire. You know, every time you get on that bike, you got to make sure the brakes work. You got air in the tires. And you got to remember your combination. Remember the combination. Well, I got the bike out, and I went through all that, and then I went back, and I took this thing, and I put the right combination together, and it wouldn't go together. And I sat there for about 15 minutes, 99.73. It's got to work. I know, I do this all the time. It's got to work. Well, finally, I just gave up. I packed it in. Went for a ride on my bike, prayed about it on the way, and I came back home. And I figured out, God told me, I think, in my heart, what I was doing wrong. On the rack where this holds my bike to the rack, Cindy also has one of these, too. And so I found the other one, and I put in 99.73, and guess what? It worked. You know, a lot of people are like that today, aren't they? They got the wrong thing that they're trying to fit the combination into. The only thing that works is Jesus. Putting our faith alone in Jesus Christ gets us to heaven, gets our sins forgiven. We count him into our lives, and we get serious about knowing him. Why is Melchizedek, this guy, this random guy from the Old Testament, so very important? Because he shows us what Jesus Christ, again, is like in a deeper, deeper way. That's what we need for life. Jesus said, I am the way, not just a way, but the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know him? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Have you turned to him in this life and said, God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry that I've chosen my own combination, my own way, and it doesn't work for me somehow. But God, I want your way. I want your way for my life. I want Jesus to be my Savior and Lord. And I want to be really serious about reading God's word so I know Jesus. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do it today. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for, wow, the Bible.